Why does God send people to hell? That's a pretty mean thing to do for such a loving God. Here's the truth from Pastor Al Pittman.
God doesn't want any to perish, but we choose to perish. I always tell people this. It's true. God sends nobody to hell. We elect to go there ourselves. When we reject Christ, what we're actually doing, and people don't understand this, is you're embracing death. And when we accept Christ, what we're doing is we're rejecting death, and we're accepting life. And that is life everlasting.
Dwelling place.
Welcome to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Our program originates every day from Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. You've probably heard this phrase uttered at one time or another. I've got good news and I've got bad news. We're studying a section of Revelation that definitely falls into the bad news category. In Revelation chapter 6, we see the arrival of the so-called four horsemen of the apocalypse. The first two will bring war, the third will bring famine, and the fourth will bring widespread death and destruction. That doesn't sound like much of a party, does it? Well, the good news for believers in Jesus Christ is that we won't be around to experience these terrible occurrences. Turn to Revelation chapter 6 in your Bible as we join Al Pittman for today's message.
I've entitled this message, Preview of Coming Attractions. As we saw last week, the lamb that John saw in his vision as he was in heaven, the lamb that was standing before the very throne of God as if it had been slain, is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lamb of God. He's the only one that was found worthy to take the scroll that is sealed with seven seals from the right hand of the Father. At this particular time, according to end times prophecy, the church has been safely sequestered out of the world. In other words, we've been raptured. We're not here at the time. Why? Because the wrath of God is getting ready to be poured out upon the earth. And it lines up with really the Lord's M.O., our Lord God, his M.O., our Father's M.O., in that he always removes his people before he pours out his wrath. Case in point, Noah. He flooded the earth after Noah and his family was safely within the ark. And then there was Lot, remember him, in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God would not rain down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was safely out of the city. And so it serves to reason that the church will be out of the earth and raptured out of the earth before God pours out his wrath. And then, of course, Paul the Apostle says that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation. Amen? So if you want to go through the tribulation, knock yourself out. Amen. For those who believe that Christians will go through the tribulation, but I believe the Bible teaches that we indeed will be out of here. Amen? Thank God. Praise his holy name. Now, the breaking of the seals initiates a preview of the coming apocalypse. It's sort of like looking through a telescope in that we have the seals that we'll be looking at today, the seven seals, actually six of the seven. And then we have, later on in the book of Revelation, of course, the trumpets, the trumpet judgments, and then the bowl judgments, as they're called. And so it all covers a seven-year period of tribulation from Revelation chapter 6, as we're seeing here, all the way to chapter 19, verse 4. And chapter 6 is a synopsis. Now, six seals are mentioned here in chapter 6. The seventh seal is mentioned in Revelation chapter 8. We're only going to look at the six seals today. The seals first start out with four seals. There's six here, but there's these seals that are seed that seal the scroll. There's seven in total, but we see the first four represent four horsemen of the coming apocalypse. And so we began here with the first horse, if you will, here in verse 1, Revelation chapter 6, where John writes, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see." What four living creatures? The four living creatures in Revelation chapter 4, verse 7. We had a living creature that had the face of a lion that was like a lion. The second was a creature like an ox or a calf. The third was the creature had the face of a man. And the fourth one had the face of an eagle or was flying around like an eagle. And so one of the four living creatures said to John, "Come and see." Come and see. And the Bible says that this John looked and there was a white horse. And there was the one sitting on this white horse with a bow. Verse 2, he says, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Now, many people believe that this person sitting on the white horse is Jesus Christ. Now, I don't believe this is Jesus Christ. I believe it's the Antichrist. And there's a couple of reasons why I believe it's the Antichrist. Number one, the crown of this individual on this white horse is different from the crown Jesus is wearing in Revelation chapter 19 when he comes back to strike the nations with a rod of iron, to judge the nations. In fact, the Greek word for crown here for this particular rider, this rider has on his head, is Stephanos, and it means or implies one given permission. In other words, the Antichrist will be given permission and limited authority to rule for a while, but not long. And so this rider has limited authority. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, Jesus, on his head, he has a crown. It's a diadema. It's the way it's pronounced, but we get our word diadem, which means many crowns, which speaks of the very fact that he has complete, utter, total authority and victory, and he does not need permission to rule. It's a different crown. And so I believe that this is the Antichrist. Well, he's on a white horse. Well, the devil also comes as an angel of light. And the Antichrist will come, by the way, to deceive. And so he will come to deceive many. I believe this is not Jesus Christ also, because there are different weapons. A bow is ascribed to this rider on this white horse. But when Jesus comes back, he will have a sword. The Bible says a sword coming out of his mouth. Now, that sword coming out of his mouth, I don't think it's a literal sword. And I've heard people say, oh, it was a laser beam or something. I think it's just the word of God. He will strike the nations with his word. In fact, the Bible says God's word is as sharp as a what? Two-edged sword. Amen? And so he ain't going to have to fight with nobody, sword fight somebody. He's just going to speak the word. Done deal. Amen? The authority of his word is what it's speaking about. He comes back with a sword. This rider is armed with a bow. In Revelation 19, 11 to 16, Jesus is armed with a sword. The bow indicates that this rider is a warrior. In fact, verse 2 tells us that he went out conquering and to conquer. And that's exactly what the Antichrist will do, as we'll see as we get more further on into the book of Revelation, but only for a limited time. In verses 3 and 4, we come to the second seal that is broken by the Lamb of God. He breaks the second seal. And verse 3 tells us that when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, came out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. A great sword, not the word of God, but a sword for destruction, for violence, and all on the face of the earth. This fiery red horse represents bloody warfare. Bloody warfare. The world will be consumed by warfare. The Antichrist, according to Daniel's prophecy, will come on the scene for 3.5 years and with pseudo peace, and then 3.5 years of tremendous war upon the face of the earth. The devil is also called, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, he's called the red dragon. So many people believe that the rider on the second horse is just the rider on the first horse revealed, which makes sense. The Antichrist is going to come, you know, as an angel of light, as someone promoting peace, and then, you know, war will break out. Amen. To say the least, I'd say, oh, heck will break out. Amen. So This is many believe, is just the Antichrist being revealed here in this second seal, bringing death on the earth and robbing the earth of peace. Sounds just like the devil, amen? Sounds like the enemy of our soul, to rob the world of peace. You know, today people are trying to achieve peace and all this, but there's going to be a time where the people will have no hope at all for any sort of peace at this particular time, during this time of tribulation. And then in verses 5 and 6, we come to the third horse, or the third seal that is broken by our Lord, the Lamb of God. He breaks the third seal, and we see a black horse. Mentioned here in verse 5, says, "And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine.'" What is that all about? Amen. Got a lot of splaining to do today. Amen. Just so we understand what some of these things mean here. Even though we look through a glass dimly, the Bible says, we can explain some of these things. The black horse with the scales mentioned here represent scarcity and famine. A great, tremendous famine will consume the earth.
Pastor Al has more to share about the tribulation in Revelation 6, and he'll be back in just a few moments. This is The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. It brings us great joy when we hear from our listeners, so email us today at cwccs.org. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. This podcast's purpose is to encourage you and to have conversations about issues inside and outside of the church in a more relaxed and uncuffed manner. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Or go to oneplace.com on your computer and listen when it's most convenient. If you'd like to partner with us financially, please give us a call at 844-221-3363. Or again, visit our website at cwccs.org. Now with more on the tribulation and how we can avoid the violence, from Revelation 6, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
The extent of the famine is given to us during the tribulation period is given to us here in verse 6, the latter part. A quart of wheat and 3 quarts of barley can be purchased for a denarius. So now a denarius was a day's wage in Jesus' time. So imagine what you make today for one day working hard, because you work hard for the money, amen? And all of that required to purchase a little bread to feed your family with a quart of wheat, and a quart of wheat would feed a family for one day. Little bread, just enough bread for one meal, not one day, one meal. And then 3 quarts of barley could feed a family for 3 days. So whatever you make in a day, you know, I think at the low end, maybe most people make $58 a day, you know, whatever you make and up, it takes that just to buy a little bread at this particular time. Tremendous famine. And we see famine today, but it's the famine then during the tribulation period, you know, it's just the famine we see today pales in comparison to the famine that is to come during the tribulation period. Worldwide hunger on a scale beyond imagination would, I believe, produce, and naturally it does, produce a scarcity, but it also really reduces and diminishes the sanctity of human life. When people care about their bellies, man, you know, people don't care about one another. And so there's going to be, you know, this widespread famine on the face of the earth. But note something here. The scripture says here, the latter part, here, verse 6, "and do not harm the oil and the wine." Why would it say that? Well, it's really an expression. The oil and wine is an expression of excess or an expression of prosperity. And so basically what this third scroll is revealing here is that even though there would be a tremendous famine on the earth, there will also be those who have political connections or political power or the rich and all, they will experience prosperity. So there would be, the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. There would be no middle class, the haves and the have-nots. It's going to be this great disparity in the social class, and they will still have the oil and the wine, and no one will be able to touch that despite the fact that the masses are experiencing famine at this particular time. So I guess nothing much has changed. Amen. It's just going to increase back in that day during the tribulation period. In verses 7 and 8, we come to the fourth broken seal and the fourth horse, which is a pale horse that John sees here in Revelation verse 7 and Revelation chapter 6. He says, "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was death. And Hades, that is the grave, followed with him. And power was given to them over, the death and the grave had power over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth." So a tremendous time of death reigning over the earth. A fourth of the world's population will die during this time of tremendous famine and war and all of these things. Pale horse, the color pale, signifies that which is corpse-like. Corpse-like. The rider is called death, the aftermath of war and famine. And, of course, the grave gathers in the victims, follows close behind. A fourth of the earth's population. I thought, well, man, what would that be like? And I'm not a mathematician. I was a little asleep, kind of fell asleep during math, amen, when I was in school. Or I was skipping school doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, amen. But I was looking at how many people are on the earth today. 7.7 billion was the number for 2018. And you mathematicians, straighten me out after the service. Don't rebuke me now. Amen. But a quarter of that would be 1,925,000,000, almost 2 billion people will die. Now, we've had millions die in World War I. By the way, the war to end all wars. And then we had World War II. And millions more died, including 6 million Jews slaughtered. And then, of course, all the other wars, Korea, Vietnam, you know, many other wars in Africa, all over the world since that time. And, you know, Hitler was bad, but Stalin was worse. Amen. So millions, millions of, but billions? Wow. During the tribulation period or horrific time, and it's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. But it's the will that mankind has chosen, because when we reject Jesus, we choose death. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want any to perish, but we choose to perish. I always tell people this. It's true. God sends nobody to hell. We elect to go there ourselves. But the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, John, the same writer of the book of Revelation, also said in 1 John chapter 5 that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so what we do is when we reject Christ, people think, I'm rejecting Christ, you know, there's probably other paths to God. And of course, Jesus said there aren't. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And by rejecting Jesus Christ, what we're actually doing, and people don't understand this, is you're embracing death. And when we accept Christ, what we're doing is we're rejecting death, and we're accepting life, and that is life everlasting. Whosoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And so here the world, during the tribulation period, is experiencing the very thing they have chosen, elected to embrace. That is death itself. And with death, apart from Christ, death has the final word. So the world is full of hopelessness during the tribulation period. Now we come to verses 9 to 11, the fifth seal. Now this fifth seal that is broken reveals another scene. And verse 9, you read along with me. He says, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge the blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to them, to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Wow. The cry of the martyrs. Now, this seal reveals that there will be those who will come to Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. Yes, the church is raptured out of the earth, but there will be those left behind who rejected Christ who will notice that you're gone, along with millions of others, and will begin to believe your testimony and examine the scriptures for themselves. And they will come to faith in Jesus Christ, but they will be living at a time when the Antichrist will introduce the mark of the beast. You know, everybody here have heard of 666 and all. But there is a mark of the beast, the number of man. And they will have to take that mark, or they cannot buy or sell or do anything without that mark. We'll get into that in the book of Revelation a little later on. And they will reject that mark, and they will be hunted, and they will be martyred, killed, slaughtered by the Antichrist as being those who are disrupting the peace of the world. Now, there are some Christians who, you know, used to panic. I used to panic many years ago. I didn't know, you know, if I had a credit card, I had the mark of the beast. Is that the mark of the beast? I got a MasterCard. Oh, Lord, I didn't know. You know. Well, here's the deal. Number one, with the mark of the beast, you don't have to worry about it, because if you're a believer right now, you'll be out of here anyway. You won't even be here. The church will be taken out of the world. And if you're living during the tribulation period, it's not like they're going to sneak it in on you. Because the Antichrist, who will eventually declare himself to be God, will require that everybody turns to him and looks to him and rejects Jesus Christ in order to take the mark. So it's going to be something that will be right out in the open, you know, in this one world government that is to come through the leadership of the Antichrist.
Thanks for listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear today's message again, you can get an audio CD by calling us at 844-221-3363. Or listen online to an archive of Pastor Al's messages at cwccs.org. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the Skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the Enable button. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. The Dwelling Place is made possible through the generous support of our listeners. If you'd like to make a donation, we invite you to visit us online at cwccs.org. There's a place to make a secure donation right there. Or text GIVE to 719-354-2778. That's GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also write us at 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. Thank you for your prayers and thoughtful consideration as we continue to get out the word on this station and others like it. And one more quick reminder, if you're in the Colorado Springs area or will be visiting soon, we hope you'll drop by for a visit to Calvary Worship Center. Join us at our West Side campus or our Creekside campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is brought to you by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. May the Lord richly bless you. Dwelling Place.